And just figuring out the very specific and measurable things that can be done today. You know, Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And I met so many business owners along the way where they would say to me something like, well, my business is my retirement. And I get it, and I understand that. And I hope in many ways my business is a big piece of my retirement. But what if it's not? Right? What, you know, if you're a widget manufacturer and 20 years from now people don't need widgets anymore, what are you going to do? And how do you create a comprehensive financial planning strategy that includes your business, but also has some contingencies for all the what ifs that could occur between now and the day that you're willing and ready to exit your business? And then how do you do some things to sort of optimize the value of that business when the time is right?
Welcome to Grow Think Tank. This is the one and only place where you will get insight from the founders and the CEOs of the fastest growing privately held companies. I am the host. My name is Gene Hammett. I help leaders and their teams navigate the defining moments of their growth. Are you ready to grow?
Today, we're going to have an incredible conversation about your future exit and really planning for your future exit. We have a special guest today. It is Brock Jolly. Brock is the partner or co-partner of Veritas Financial, VFWealth.com, if you're looking that up. And they're a full service financial planning company. He also has another, you know, side to the business, College Funding Coach, which is, I think, an incredible program and full of other financial advisors who are experts in helping parents understand the ins and outs of paying for college, what you need to know. They have some tools that are just really world class. And so if you want to check those out, Brock and I talk about, you know, what are the planning aspects of a future exit? And you want to make sure you get this right, because it's probably one of the biggest deals you'll do in your life where this money is coming in. Maybe you have more exits in your future, but you definitely want each one of them to be done right. And so we talk about some of the mistakes that are common inside of exits. We talk about some of the other aspects that you want to make sure you get right. I love some of the frameworks and tools he mentions. And I give you some insights too deep inside this conversation on future exit. My name is Gene Hammett. I'm an executive coach. I've been doing this for more than a decade. And I love working with companies that have a big opportunity in front of them. That big opportunity requires alignment. It requires focus. It requires an intention and the right leadership. And that's where me and my team come in. We want to help you understand what's getting in the way of your own scalability, your own ability to capture that big opportunity. We've done this for more than a decade, and our team can come in and help you at the CEO level, help you at the C-suite level for alignment, but also help you with your managers becoming better leaders and closing that gap between the skill set of your executive team and the managers you have. Now, if you have a big enough business where you have all of those things, then we would love to talk to you about what your big opportunity is and make sure you're ready for it and make sure that you have the priorities in place and maybe even address the blind spots that you don't even know that you have to address. We've been through this many, many times for people. I will say that this is not a sales pitch. I'm doing this from my heart. I'm doing this as a way to connect with my listeners. And if you're listening to this and you want to go through this process with me, just go to gene@genehammett.com. That's my email address. And we can get in a conversation and we can talk about what's really happening. We can get really honest with each other. And I will hold nothing back. I will give you everything I can inside that hour. You can take the plan and run with it. You can ask me to help you. If you ask me to help you, it's going to be a separate conversation. We're going to go a little bit deeper into this and walk you through the entire process. And you'll feel comfortable before you sign. But the first call is really just about you getting clarity and about you understanding what's standing in the way, really reaching that big opportunity. So just go to gene@genehammett.com. That's my email address. Now here's the interview with Brock. Brock, how are you?
I'm doing great, Gene. Thanks for having me.
We're going to have a great podcast here. We're going to talk about, you know, a future exit. And I know that you've got some experience with this, but before we dive into that, tell us about your company, Veritas Financial.
Yeah, sure. So I'm one of the founders of Veritas Financial. We're a full service financial planning firm based in the Washington, D.C. area. But, you know, in many ways, thanks to technology and perhaps a global pandemic, we work with clients all over the country. And in fact, in some cases, all over the world. And to your point, big focal concentration of ours is working with business owners, entrepreneurs, executives on how to set themselves up today for a future exit.
And I know you have, it's not a sideline because it's a very big, serious business with the College Funding Coach, which I have been to the presentation and kind of came in from a side door. Really incredible organization helping other financial planners serve those parents and children, I guess, but the parents who are scared sure. about the money that it's going to cost for education. Tell us a little bit about College Funding Coach.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, as college continues to get more and more expensive, parents, whether you own a business or not, are concerned about how they're going to save and plan and pay for their children's college education and still retire one day. I was, you know, at the time and in the lifestyle that they want. And so I noticed early on in my career that there was a big concern and even anxiety around this topic. And I knew that I could solve it. And I actually found out first that most of the advisors and mentors with whom I work, they didn't have answers either. And so I researched it. Long story short, 20 years ago, started this organization. And now we've built a nationwide company that focuses on all the things I mentioned, saving, planning, paying for college, helping parents to navigate this maze and maybe keep a little bit more of the money that they've worked so hard to accumulate and not send it off to a college or university to build buildings and endow professorships with.
Well, I know one other interesting fact, at least to me, is we met about 10 years ago at an event we were both speaking at, and I encouraged you to have a podcast and you didn't do it, but I continue to run mine. I'm still running it today. So thanks for being here. And then
this is kind of a full circle moment that we've got here, you know? So
we reconnected when I published the book, How to Have Tough Conversations. And you're like, this would be great for our group of college funding coaches to talk about the tough conversations with their clients.
Absolutely.
So thanks for having me give a speech to your team.
Absolutely. It was awesome. So, you know, lots of insightful stuff. And whether you are a parent or a business owner or a consultant or an advisor, we all have those tough conversations. And it's, man, like just trying to break through that. And I think the book and your talk just gave some really, really good guidance on that, Gene, of like what to think about, how to prepare, how to deliver it effectively and with purpose, et cetera. So really appreciate it and love the book.
Well, let's dive into this. I think a lot of my clients, and I know probably people listening here go, you know, real freedom is probably comes with an exit. Exits can look at like different things. And one of the things I think you've got a lot of experience with is looking at as an advisor, making sure people are set up for a future exit. What are the core components of that? And then we'll dive into to where we need to.
Sure. So, and a lot of this, I mean, you know, it's learning on the job as a financial advisor and just, you know, various designations. So I'm a certified financial planner. I've got a designation that's a certified family business specialist. I did a designation called the certified exit planning advisor and, you know, a lot of others. The point is that that training coupled with real world experience in working with small business owners, family businesses, et cetera, is understanding some of the challenges, and there is absolutely an art and a science to it, right? Some of it's math, some of it is emotion, and just figuring out the very specific and measurable things that can be done today. You know, Stephen Covey says, begin with the end in mind. And I met so many business owners along the way where they would say to me something like, well, my business is my retirement. And I get it, and I understand that, and I hope in many ways my business is a big piece of my retirement. But what if it's not, right? What, you know, if you're a widget manufacturer and 20 years from now, people don't need widgets anymore, what are you going to do? And how do you create a comprehensive financial planning strategy that includes your business, but also has some contingencies for all the what ifs that could occur between now and the day that you're willing and ready to exit your business? And then how do you do some things to sort of optimize the value of that business when the time is right?
Let's walk through some of the mistakes that you see happen. Because I know that there's a lot of things where people are have other advisors and they don't even realize some of the mistakes that are out there. What are the top two or three?
When you asked that, I used to give this presentation. And it was called Business Killers. And it was something like the subtitle was the 10 mistakes that business owners make to screw up their businesses. Right. I would tell you, number one is just that belief, what I said of that my business is my retirement. right? My response is this: successful business owners, sort of like successful gamblers, always take some of their chips off the table, right? So taking time to put money aside on a regular and consistent basis. So the idea there is, look, I hope you can sell your business for lots and lots of money one day down the line. But how do we systematically and purposefully put money aside so that if you can't, you're okay and you've got a parachute that's going to open when you're ready to launch it? Number two is just having the vision of how to exit the business and using that as sort of your guiding light or compass throughout the process. Figuring out what it may look like of how to exit the business strategically and effectively. You know, one of the problems is often people say, well, I'm going to sell to some competitor or someone will come in and buy my business. And while that's a perfectly fine option, why not have internal options as well? What if you had a junior partner or a couple people on the team who would be potentially natural successors in your business? So just talking that through. And then I would say for a third one, just not paying attention to the details. And what I mean by that is a lot of business owners are really, really good at the big picture. They know their craft exceptionally well. And let's just keep with the widget manufacturing theme. They're really good at manufacturing widgets, but they're not paying close attention to maybe the tax or the legal or the financial concerns that can absolutely erode the value of a business when it is time ultimately to sell.
We've been talking about your future exit. One of the things that you want to get right is to create a business that doesn't require you to be there day to day. Now, you can be a part of the business. You can be, you know, on the outside fringes. You can even be there every day. But if it requires you to make the decisions and all of the things run through you, you're still approving work, you're still hiring people, you're still doing the sales, you're still doing X, Y, and Z, it's going to limit what you can get out of the exit. It will also require you to work a longer earnout. And so if you want to have what's considered a strong company, strong leadership and strong culture, you're going to make sure you build up all the leaders around you. You do this in a way that if you took a vacation for 4 weeks and you had no phone access, that things would not just be okay, but they would run like they're supposed to run. You would come back to a business that's stronger and hopefully even growing a little bit more because of you leaving. Now, if you do this well, you will have the maximum that you could get inside of an exit. Your multiples will be better. Your ability to have a shorter earnout will be better. So build a business that you don't have to be there for. And guess what? The side benefit, the icing on the cake is you will have a business that you love running because you don't have to be there. Back to Brock. I want to go back to the certification on exit.
Certified exit planning advisor.
Certified exit planning advisor. So I know that you get these certifications so that you have tools to use and a good understanding of the process. What is one thing you learned in there that was a surprise to you after being a successful business owner?
Oh man, it's a great question. And you know, selfishly, when I did that designation program, and you know, some of these, it's, you know, the average consumer, the average business owner even has no idea of that designation. Right. And I've done it, you know, as much as anything, it's for my own education. You know, I guess it probably looks good. The alphabet soup after one's name is, you know, I guess gives some level of credibility. But I'll tell you what, just diving into the art of it as opposed to the science, right? The science is understanding EBITDA, understanding different ownership structures and how to exit from those. But it was the art. It was the emotions of exiting a business. It was understanding the thought process. Because so many business owners, it's like, you know, an offer may come along that's a really, really good offer, but they're not ready to quit working. Or the opposite, which is, they get, you know, maybe a family member's involved. And so they're going to sell the business at a significant discount to market value. All that stuff, I just found the psychology behind an exit, a successful exit, was fascinating.
Well, Brock, we're talking about a future exit. And one of the things I like to do with my clients, and I want to get your perspective on this too, is like, okay, if you were going to do this in 5 years, what are the things you need to get right? And I know there's a lot of things. So let's go by some kind of priority list of what you need to get right if you're 5 years plus away from an exit.
Well, I'll tell you, some of the things may be obvious, right? Like you got to get the books right. You got to figure out what are the things that as a business owner, and some businesses are different than others, but what are the things that maybe are on the ledger or that, you know, maybe you're deducting right now that, you know, just getting the books straight is a really important one. But really, I would tell you there's three things that I use as my starting point with business owners as we talk about this conversation of how do you set yourself up for an exit, whether it's 5 years from now or 25 years from now. Those three things are people, systems, and processes. Because the one thing that if you and or I am a business owner that we sort of can't control is what are our earnings or our EBITDA, right? We sell however many widgets we sell. And the value of that or the margins on that are what they are. Now, we can have a whole different podcast and a whole different conversations around how you increase the earnings. But why a particular business in a particular industry or sector is going to sell for a lot higher multiple is people, systems, and processes, right? What differentiates business A from business B is the people, the systems that they've established, and the processes that they follow that allow that business to rise above their peers. And it exists in my business, in your business, and every widget manufacturer out there's business.
I want to add my two cents in here talking about people. If you have people problems, what's the best way for you to address those people problems? I know it's not ignoring it. I know it's not hoping it will get better. The best way to address people problems is through a tough conversation. I've said this for years. And I actually published the book on this, wrote the book on how to have tough conversations with Amanda, my wife. And we feel like this book will help you be a better leader, help you communicate better, help you be seen as someone who is giving constructive feedback the right way and will help people grow around you. Now, if you are trying to build this future exit, you want to make sure you have the right people. You want to make sure those people are also having the tough conversations and building up the people around them. So if you are curious about the book, check it out. If you need support with workshops or anything as it relates to your culture and the people problems you have, reach out to me, gene@genehammond.com. Love to talk to you about your business. Now back to Brock. I love the people side of this because that's where I play. It's leadership. It's people problems. It's getting people aligned together. Given your history of working with these companies that are marching toward an exit and eventually doing it, what insights would you have around getting the people part of that right?
So I'm a bit of a disciple of a guy named Dan Sullivan, the founder of Strategic Coach. And there was there's a philosophy that he's had, and he's just recently written a book about it. But the philosophy is unique ability. Right? What do you do really well that you're passionate about, that you love doing, that's profitable, and you could go do that thing over and over and over and over and over again, and then delegate everything else. And I've always tried to run my own business like that. And I try to talk to our business owner clients about the same approach. And that oftentimes there's this pride of ownership, right? Well, yeah, but I can do that better than somebody else. And you're probably right. But if somebody else can come in and they can do it 80% as well as you, and they can take that time burden off your calendar so that you can go and do what you're exceptional about and passionate about, the rising tide lifts all ships in that conversation. And so this book that he wrote is called Who Not How, and probably a lot of your listeners have heard of it, but it's, you know, business owners especially, they often try to figure out how to solve a problem rather than who is the person who can help solve the problem more efficiently, more effectively. And so when you talk about people, it's how do we get A-plus players on our team? And that doesn't happen overnight, but you want A-plus players who are part of the fabric and the culture of your organization, right? I use Harley Davidson as the example when I'm talking to people about this. Like there is, to my knowledge, I mean, maybe Disney, but Harley Davidson has the most loyal and passionate followers, and that includes employees. Right? Who get a tattoo of this company on their shoulder, on their back, or on some other body part. Like that is a culture, that is a following that is loyal and hard to replicate. How do you create raving fans who are part of your team and who will, you know, maybe whatever the equivalent of get a tattoo of your brand on their body That's what you want to find. So that's the people part.
I love all of this. I know that we're running out of time here. Right before the exit, it's a tough time for people. There's a lot going on and there's about to be some money hit the bank. What are you've got this financial, advisory business, you got all these designations. If you were just talking with a good friend of yours about, how to prepare for the money coming in, what advice would you give them?
I'll tell you a funny story, and I don't share this a whole lot in public, but I'll share this story. So I helped a guy sell a business at a reasonably young age. He was, about 53 years old, and he sold this business, and they lived in the Washington, D.C. area, but he moved back to North Carolina where he was from originally. They built this gorgeous place on one of the lakes down there, and about a year and a half into his first retirement, because he actually went back and did some other stuff. But he wrote me an email, and the title of the email was Beer and Fishing. And he said, Brock, you and I talked about this. We did all the planning, exactly what you just asked about, Gene. Like, what do you do? And he said, I didn't have many hobbies, right? I was so into my business and growing my business and finding the right team members and all the stuff, did all the things right as far as building a business, but didn't really have a plan B or a post-exit strategy. And he said, so look, here's the deal. Like, I moved to this lake and I figured I'd learn to fish. And it's not that he had never fished, but he wasn't a big fisherman. And so he said, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll go out and I'll fish and, I'll take a six pack of beer with me and I come back and now I've had this six pack of beer and I can't really do anything the rest of the day. He said, now, I don't want you to think for a second that I've got a problem with alcohol. I don't. He said, but what I want you to understand is I didn't have a game plan. We never really focused on that piece of it. And it was a game changer for me, because now what we do is we create a blueprint with our clients to say, what does retirement look like? And a friend of mine wrote a great book called Rewirement, right? How do you rewire your brain post-exit? And what are the specific things that you're going to do? What are the things that you could never do because you had this job? Right. And, look, maybe it's travel, maybe it's golf, maybe it's fishing. I kind of don't care what it is, but I think it's really, really important as a business owner that you've thought about life after the exit and put some thought into that. And maybe what are the things that you need to do between now and then to figure out what that's going to look like? Critically important.
As we wrap up here, I'm going to tell you just a little micro story. I had a client of mine who was considering selling and he chose not to. He actually had looked at some of his friends' exits, and one of them had gotten $5 million, but they were paying themselves $1 million a year.
Yeah.
And they didn't change their lifestyle. So at 50, he exited. At 55, he's like, I'm not broke, but it didn't feel good. I don't have the income coming in. The money's gone from this exit because I didn't change my lifestyle. And I know that you help people with that game plan, the blueprint. And that's one reason I wanted to have you on, Brock. Where can our clients get in touch with you if they're interested?
Yeah, thanks. I'll just add to that. Like, that's the whole process, right? It's like creating that conversation to say the finance is one piece of it, but it's all the pieces that go around that. And, in some cases, even it's a conversation around multi-generational wealth, right? These are big numbers and how do you pass it on? So to get a hold of us, easiest way is our website, which is just VFWealth, as in Veritas Financial Wealth. com, or you can call our office. Direct dial number is 703-424-2401.
Brock, thanks for being here and being a fan of the show, fan of our book and work. And I really appreciate you sharing your insights on a future exit.
Awesome. Thanks, Gene. Thanks for having me.
Wow. What an incredible interview with Brock. I've known Brock for more than 10 years. We spoke at the same event and we spoke again. He invited me to come up to his group when we published How to Have Tough Conversations. Really admire the work that he's put in, the integrity. He's constantly working and growing and evolving. And that's one reason why he's able to come into this message and share such insights on future exits. So if this was valuable to you, make sure you share it with a friend. And if there's anything we can do to help you capture the big opportunity in front of you, make sure you send me an email, gene@genehammett.com. We do coaching at the CEO level, the C-suite level, and we also do manager to leader coaching. So it's a really unique total coaching kind of approach. And if you are interested in that, love to hear from you. When you think of growth and you think of leadership, think of Growth Think Tank. As always, think of courage. We'll see you next time.